Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff happens to come into our minds. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Austin.
Meet George Jetson.
Is his wife Jane?
Jane, his wife.
I can't remember.
And in the future... Men control the finances.
That is right.
And they have to give their women allowances of cash. And then she steals the entire wallet to go shopping. Because women are frivolous and silly.
There was always a misogynistic air and financial abuse undertones to that show.
Let's do a Jetsons podcast.
Oh, God. I don't think I could last a couple episodes. We need to go out and buy the pumpkin Reese's. That's always a classic.
Ew. Oh, not pumpkin-flavored Reese's.
No, the shapes.
Okay.
Which I will say, I'm going to make this case, and everybody knows it's true. The pumpkin Reese's taste different than other Reese's.
Yeah, because it's a different peanut butter to chocolate ratio.
Is that it? Because I feel like it's just a different flavor.
It's like how the M&M's minis taste better than the regular M&M's. Because there's more candy shell to chocolate innards.
Innards.
I couldn't think of a better way to say it.
Okay, what is your favorite M&M flavor? If you say anything other than peanut, you're wrong.
I hate peanut M&Ms, and we've had this discussion before on the podcast, I'm pretty sure.
Well, you know me, I don't remember. What about the crunchy ones, the crispy, whatever those
ones? Do they make those anymore? I think they're gone.
I haven't seen them in many years. I really love those.
I think they were replaced by pretzel.
The brownie ones are disgusting. I've tried those. I don't like them.
I'm not a big M&M guy.
But if you had to pick...
Can I say M&M's minis?
Sure, that's a flavor.
Sure, y'all go with that.
It's a different kind. I will say it's a crock of shit when they say melts in your mouth and not in your hand. That's false.
Yeah, well, I think the coloring, the food dye, comes off in your hand.
That's melting.
But M&M's were like a leap forward in candy technology when they came out. That was their big thing.
You know what a leap forward in candy technology was? Dippin' Dots. And where the hell are those?
I saw generic brand Dippin' Dots the other day, and I was like, what the fuck is that?
In a store?
It was in a store. It was in a grocery store.
That's shocking. The only time I ever encountered Dippin' Dots was at a water park. At the water park. That's where they lived. They always had like a Dippin' Dots vendor at the water park.
We had a Dippin' Dots stand in my area.
Like?
It was like a sad little cart with a guy with an umbrella. And he would, like, sit there all day selling Dippin' Dots.
Like, on the corner?
Kinda. It was in a park. It was in a strip mall parking lot.
That's sad.
Perhaps that was strange. I don't know.
That's not my experience. Like I said, I've only ever encountered it in a very specific area, and that was the water park, which is disgusting if you think about it, because...
I've seen them at convention centers.
Convention centers. I haven't seen a Dippin' Dots since, like, 2007, so...
They're around. They're still out there.
We have to find them. Can we make that our mission?
Was Dippin' Dots the one that came with, like a wooden thing, like a flat board that you had to scoop things out? No, I'm thinking of, like, Mayfield ice cream or some shit.
Yeah, those are the little individual packs that you would get at some kid's sad, like, pizza party birthday where they had, like, the little individual Bluebell.
And it was, like, worthless, so you'd fling the ice cream across the room.
Yeah, or they'd break in your hands.
So. Yeah.
I have bad flashbacks to every, like, pizza party I ever had to attend as a child because I didn't drink soda, and the only options... that were on offer was, like, Sunkissed, orange soda, and Coke.
Ooh.
And it was disgusting.
Ooh. Last night, I had a dream about drinking Coca-Cola. It was so good.
What could that have possibly involved?
It was literally a dream. My dreams have gotten so boring. A dream where I woke up, and the first thing I did in the morning was drink a can of Coca-Cola. And I was like, oh, what a way to start the day.
What a way to start the day, indeed. I heard that you're supposed to drink, like, water when you first wake up. It's supposed to help wake you up. Any other wild stories you want to regale us with, or should we just jump in?
No, it's been a boring time.
But that's okay. You know, it doesn't always have to be excitement all the time. La 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 la, nante suteki na la 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 la, moji no narabi. La la la, sore wa la. The first episode is called The Same Old Song and Dance.
Okay, I have a weird relationship with this episode.
Okay.
This, as far as I'm concerned, is the Pikachu Records episode.
This is the toxic relationship episode that
what?
We have.
What are you talking about?
It's Jigglypuff. He's back. We have to take
That's his... why you don't like the episode, is it's a Jigglypuff episode.
It is, and it's not even a particularly good episode outside of that anyway. Like,
well, I like this episode because I collect the Pokemon CDs.
That is true. There was a lot of musical stuff happening.
This is the episode where they said, you know what? We're just going to use as much of our record catalog as possible. And we're just going to have a bunch of singing in this episode. One thing after another of things I'm kind of, frankly, shocked made it through to the dub. Because they had to license all that music.
I would be impressed if the music was actually good. But I thought...
No, I'm not saying it's good music. Don't get me wrong.
Was this like a contract was running out and they had to use the music before a certain date and they're like, okay, just shove it all in this?
No, because Pikachu Records was literally a record label owned by Pokemon from the very beginning of the Pokemon anime that ran alongside it all the way into Black and White.
Okay.
It no longer exists, is my understanding. I think all their music stuff is through Sony right now.
Okay.
But for a long period of time, Pikachu Records was an actual record label. And this episode is a reflection of that. So they had their own internal catalog of things they could use.
That's interesting. It's always interesting getting like a peek into the behind the scenes.
And I love that kind of stuff. And that's why I like this episode. Because I thought it was interesting. From a real world perspective.
Yeah, I mean, you would have the background. So I guess in that way, it does make sense. And it is interesting when you think about it, like the moving parts that go into why things turn out the way they do. I will say that the final execution was not my favorite.
Okay. I could not objectively tell you if this was a good episode or not. I was just taken by the novelty of it to the point where I'm surprised this was not skipped altogether. This had to have cost four kids a pretty penny, right?
I guess. I mean, would they have had to license it specifically from Pikachu Records or?
Probably. I don't. But that's why they put in four kids only music cues, is because they make money off of it.
Well, we have had several instances of where they specifically avoid using the original version music.
Right.
Which I assume saves them money. So I can't imagine that they would go out of their way to cost themselves more money.
Well, that's the thing, is when they use original music in the four kids English dub, the international dubs around the world that are based on the American version have to license and pay to use the music 4Kids has created.
So they get paid.
Yes.
So that's why they do it.
Or did, past tense.
It's so confusing. God, anything in pursuit of a fucking dollar, I don't know.
I know, it's for real.
Anyway, this was an interesting one. I feel like every other week we go into these like peaks and valleys of a really good duo of episodes and then like a stinker.
Yeah, and then you and I disagree on which one's which.
Okay, so last week was fun because we had the Hocus Pocus Pokemon and Ash turned into a Pikachu and that was insane.
Which I was not pleased by.
Well, we were disappointed because we felt like they could have done something interesting with that and they chose to just ignore it altogether in the second half. I thought that had more stuff to talk about. I really am struggling to...
No, this is an all singing episode. There's not much to say.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying this is
There's
kind
There's really
of a,
not much to say.
A dudski in terms of an episode.
A dudski.
So that's the first one, which we'll talk about. And then the second one was a crazy fucking Slowpoke one, which we may have some interesting things to say about that. I'm not sure.
Okay.
All right. So I am sorry, but I don't have the randomizer up yet.
Oh, you forgot to have the randomizer up. Oh.
All right. So Austin, you're doing the 30 seconds of this fucking...
Okay. That's too bad because I had a lot of insight to offer.
Can we switch?
No, we cannot.
God damn. This happens every time. All right. That's fine. We'll figure it out. Austin. And I put my phone away even though I need to time you.
Okay. Hold on. I got something to pull up. Okay.
Okay, are you prepared?
I'm ready.
I don't know what you're doing, but we'll be surprised together. 3, 2, 1, go.
It's a perfect sunny day and a perfect time to get away. Yeah, choo-choo Pika Pika, choo-choo Pika Pika. Let's take our bouncy beach ball down to the beach and play. Choo-choo Pika Pika, choo-choo Pika Pika. We can play and swim while we sing and bounce along. Choo-choo Pika Pika, choo-choo Pika Pika. Here with all my friends, I'm just hoping summer never ends.
Time. Okay, that was lovely. Thank you so much.
I just thought of doing that.
I mean, that's pretty much the episode, you guys, so we don't even have to talk about it. Thinking about those lyrics, it's very much like a, I feel like it should belong to like a short where they're at the beach. Like, I'm not really sure.
Well, guess what, Alex?
Oh!
It comes from the Japanese version of Pikachu's Vacation, the first movie short.
Wouldn't you fucking know it?
Yep.
I had a feeling. I was like, this thematically does not fit with anything we're doing here. It has to be from something.
It's music they already had on hand. They were like, let's just use this.
That's simultaneously amazing and also disappointing because I feel like, didn't they have anything else that they could have sang?
Not really.
All right. And it bummed me out because, like, they didn't really, they weren't dressed the part. I felt like if they maybe aesthetically made it kind of like a beachy scene, like, maybe that would have made more sense, but they didn't.
We're going to go through the episode, and I'm going to interject every time they use a Pikachu record song. How about
Please
that?
Do, because I didn't take note of it at all.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the episode Same Old Song and Dance, which should tell you all you need to know about this.
Aerosmith is here.
Aerosmith is here. They are here. We see some familiar faces along the way, but we'll get there. I guess starting out, we set up the plot with the same old kind of Ashes being really hungry and wants to find a town. So they set off in the direction of the nearest city, and a familiar menace appears. Jigglypuff is here. When was the last time we saw Jigglypuff?
I think it was thrown in Noctowl.
With Wings Alexander?
Yes.
I don't really remember, but I'll believe you.
It's not a very memorable episode, no.
Jigglypuff is back. I always have to ask this every single time. Is this the last time we see Jigglypuff, or...?
It is not.
Okay, so we have more to look forward to then.
It kind of feels like it should have been, though.
I'm struggling to remember, like, when is the actual last time we see it, but I feel like, even though I hate Jigglypuff, I feel like it deserves more of a proper send-off.
It doesn't get one.
Okay, so we just kind of see it, and it just stops appearing. Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyway, so we were in town. I'm not sure what town they've stopped in. They don't ever name it. But before too long, Togepi runs off and crashes into some bushes, and through the bushes is this girl, and her name is Brittany, that prep, and she's hosting an Igglybuff dance party, because that's a normal thing to do.
Did you recognize the song playing on her little radio?
I did not.
I can't blame you, because it was pretty distorted, but it was none other than Aim to Be a Pokemon Master.
Ooh, that's exciting. You want to sing it?
I can. Pokemon, get to the Zay! Do 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 na 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 na.
Oh my word.
That's when Pikachu runs under the girl's skirt.
Oh, okay.
It's the first season theme song.
Okay, perfect.
I know you couldn't tell from my amazing rendition.
No, it was amazing. Austin is the, he's like a CD, what do you call those like CD cases full of CDs?
Savant.
No, but you know how everybody had, like, in the early 2000s, you had your book, your, like, little disc book.
What I want is one of those, like, racks. Yes. The spinner racks. That's what I want. I need one of those.
Spinner racks?
Yeah.
You just spin a rack.
The one that you put as it's a CD tower is what they call them.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Don't make fun of me.
No, I agree.
There is value in physical media.
There is value in physical media. And I will say, I wish that we could go back to it because there's something magical about those times. And I do miss my car with the CD disc changer. And I'm so sad because now everything's MP3. So I do remember that fondly.
You don't own any of the media you're paying for.
No, you don't. It's horrible. You're just renting it, basically. Anyway, before we spiral into that, let's go back to Brittany. Well, Brittany is keeping CDs alive because she has her boombox and she has her Igglybuff, and this is fantastic. So she's like, hello, I'm Brittany. And apparently she's like a pop star. I'm not sure how widely known she is.
Does she have a local access television show? Is what it seemed like.
She says she's a singer and the host for her own TV program, which says to me that she's popular enough to be well-known because Brock immediately recognizes her as, quote, the star of that show, Brittany. So does that mean she has a self-titled show?
I guess so.
Brittany the show?
I think it's called Brittany with an exclamation point.
Because I was wondering if he says, you're the star of that show, Brittany? Like Brittany being the name of the show? Or is he saying...
I don't think there was a comma. I think the show is Brittany.
Okay. Because I was like, maybe he asked the question in a weird way, but...
What is the format of this show? I would love to know.
I don't know,
I guess she's like an idol. We don't know much about idol culture.
We don't. That's more prevalent in Japan and South Korea and such. I imagine it's kind of like a variety show, maybe. She has, like, guests, and it's, like, singing and dancing and...
Okay.
I don't know. I'm a little worried for her because, in my opinion, I don't find her performance to be very good. But she's popular, and I guess that's all that matters.
Well, her little performance she gives to the twerps, the, like, solo performance, horrible. That was miserable, and it lasted forever.
Truly horrible. That's why I was worried, because I was like, how is this girl already popular? But then again, I wonder that about certain celebrities. So I guess society
Let's name dictates. Some names.
Let's not. Anyway, so she's not the only star of the show, though. She has twin Igglybuff, and she has named them some truly uninspired names, which is very unfortunate. One of them is Giggly Biff, and the other one is Giggly Buff.
You know how people say that naming children stupid things is abuse?
This is one of those times.
Yes, this is one of those times.
I feel slightly less bad for Giggly Biff because I feel like it's a little bit more creative, but Giggly Buff is just bad.
Brittany's not the best when it comes to naming things. That's how you know she's a celebrity.
I mean, what? Can we name, can we think of like all, some alternative names or?
Buffy.
Buffy. Well, I think maybe they would have gotten in trouble.
That's a real name.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Something cute.
Yeah, Buffy and Angel.
Spike.
Cordelia.
Yeah, exactly. What about Xander. Like Puff and Puff?
Oh, see, it's harder than it looks.
Hard. I'm trying to think of like, well, I guess twins don't have to have rhyming names.
No, they don't have their own. They don't have to have anything in common.
No, it could have just been like.
One of them could be named Iggy.
Iggy and Buff. Iggy and Biff.
Iggy and Buffy.
Iggy and, why not just like Pink, Pinky? No, because that was, no, we've already used Marina's. Okay, maybe we're being hypocritical because this is harder than it looks.
They also had to match the lip flaps. Let's not forget that.
Giggly Buff and Giggly Biff, whatever the fuck.
All right, let's talk about Iggly Buff.
Thing one and thing two.
I kind of love Iggly Buff.
Iggly Buff reminds me of a Digimon.
Yeah, I think that's why I like it.
It's got that look. I think it's the red eyes. How does it go from having red eyes, like a demon, to Jiggly Puff's... Now I'm like really having to stop and think
big
about
pronouncing. Big eyes, yeah.
It's like big blue eyes, and Wigglytuff has the same big blue eyes.
I don't know, but it makes it look better than the other two. I'm just going to say that.
It has a swirl on its head.
Is the swirl a singular hair?
Ew, I've never thought about that.
I think it's a single, it's like a baby hair, like a cartoon baby.
Oh, with the swirly.
Yeah.
Got it.
With the one long strand of hair. Gross.
We've had this conversation on this podcast before about Pokemon hair and some of the protrusions on a Pokemon, whether they count as hair or flesh or something else entirely.
I think it's a hair.
So if the thing on its forehead is a hair, then what about those three puffs on its head?
I think that's also hair.
Well, how can it have two different kinds of hair?
Igglybuffs do not obey logic or law.
Let's see. I do this every time. We're going to consult Bulbapedia and see what their biology section
is. Oh, I don't want to hear what the fuck Bulbapedia has to say. They're going to say like it's a cursed insignia from an ancient culture or something.
Biology.
Bullshit.
We're going to look.
Biology of a pink balloon.
Okay, so according to Bulbapedia, it says Igglybuff is a small bipedal balloon-like Pokemon that is completely pink. Its body can turn deep pink when the temperature increases or when it sings continuously. It has a rounded tuft of hair on top of its head, a small swirl-like pattern on its forehead, and red eyes. The tufts are hairs.
No, that's Bulbapedia conjecture. You can't trust that for anything.
I'm just saying that's what it says. And this is as close to the gospel as we're going to get.
I'm going to go on Bulbapedia and I'm going to start like putting false stuff in there and no one can disprove me.
It says as Igglybuff moves, it secretes sweat.
It secretes sweat?
How does Bulbapedia get this information? Are these based on Pokédex entries or what?
It secretes sweat.
I'm looking at the Pokédex entries to see what the fuck. Does this come from something? Or does it just make up shit?
I mean, you didn't see in this episode all the sweat they were secreting?
Okay, so according to Sapphire's Pokédex entry. It says, the body is soft like a marshmallow. From this body wafts a gently sweet fragrance that soothes and calms the emotions of his foes. Okay, that doesn't say anything about sweat. There's nothing about sweat.
Plot twist, I put in the line about the sweat just to trick you. Ha ha.
You did just now?
Yeah.
Okay, all the Pokédex entries just say it wafts an odor out, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's sweating.
Do you like this balloon that has hair and a fragrance and sweat?
I don't.
Okay.
This is making me dislike it even more than I did.
I like Igglybuff, so nothing you say can change my mind.
I've always been partial to Cleffa.
I've always disliked Cleffa.
If I had to pick, I would pick the Clefairy line over the Jigglypuff line.
I would pick the Jigglypuff line over the Clefairy line. Oh, now that I think about it.
No.
At least I would in this moment.
We're diametrically opposed. What's wrong with Cleffa? Is it because it's got weird horn things on the side of its head?
It looks like it can't stand up properly.
What would those brown things be?
Ears?
It says ears. Okay.
Well, Clefairy has them too.
Well, Clefairy... Here, let me look at what a Clefairy looks like. You ever just forget what a Pokemon looks like?
All the fucking time.
Okay, Clefairy... Oh, I see. Okay, Clefairy has more of an ear-like thing going on than... I've always liked them better. If I had to pick one of the pink Pokemon of Gen 1... Anyway, I think we've discussed Igglybuff's protrusions long enough. So according to Bulbapedia, that's not a hair, Austin. It's a pattern.
It actually, of all things, makes me think of the Marvel Universe symbiotes and how this swirly pattern on their forehead is a representation of their god, Null.
Is that right? I've never heard that.
It's recent continuity.
Oh, so they're just making shit up still.
Well, yes, of course.
Okay.
Shared universe stuff like that is nothing but fan fiction after a certain point. But that's fine. That's kind of the nature of it.
Null.
You're going to see Null in a major motion picture in the near future, by the way.
Is that Kraven the Hunter?
That would be Venom the Last
Venom
Dance.
Venom the Last Dance. What am I thinking? What is wrong with me?
What are you thinking?
I guess I'm just so obsessed with Kraven the Hunter. I'm waiting. They've delayed it so many times. I'm just itching.
It's the new New Mutants.
Yes, it is.
Did you see the new Hellboy movie got moved to straight to video?
No, I didn't even know there was a new Hellboy movie.
Exactly. Okay, anyway.
That says a lot. All right. Anyway, we'll come back with updates as we watch those movies.
Oh, I got one thing to point out.
What?
Do we like Gigglybiff and Gigglybuff's culturally appropriative head feather things?
I was wondering if we should mention that.
We have to condemn it real quick.
We do have to condemn it.
God, Britney's problematic. At least she has the sense not to do that on the stage.
Yeah, but she did it. She did it.
She did it behind closed doors.
Yeah, which I don't know is better or not. So yeah, she pulls that out and makes them wear that, which, not great. Jigglypuff is also here, and it gets jealous, of course, because it sees its more adorable baby form getting all of the attention, so it's consumed with jealousy and tries to sing, but Ash does something kind of cool that I was like, why haven't you done this before? He jumps over to Jigglypuff and snatches that fucking microphone right out of its hands, its stubby little hands, and stashes it in his backpack.
Where it originally came from.
Why did he even have that?
It's a marker.
But it's got like a weird felt tip thing on it. Is that like the eraser?
I thought that was like the cap.
Oh yeah,
because Is it a felt tip? I think it's a marker, and that's like the marker cap. It makes like a pop noise when she does it. I think it's just a marker.
So how is it that it's amplifying her singing every time?
I don't think it is. I think she just is loud.
Oh, okay. So Ash gets his marker back.
Yes, after all this time.
I actually did not even remember that that's where that came from. So, but yeah, he takes that shit back and he's like, not right now. We're not going to do that right now. So Jigglypuff is angry and decides to take out its anger in a physical way and beats the fucking shit out of the Igglybuff twins and steals their headbands, which I was kind of glad for. I was like, yes, thank you.
Jigglypuff is anti-racist.
Its actions were misguided, but the outcome was a positive.
For the best.
Yeah. Igglybuff twins, I guess because they're so like marshmallowy and like malleable, they don't really like feel this physical abuse. They're just kind of like, oh, okay. But Jigglypuff lies to Misty when they start crying about their lost headbands. And she's like, oh, is the wind the reason why your headbands are on the ground? Not because Jigglypuff wrenched it off their heads. But we abandon the headbands and we go to the theater or the performing arena that's just in the middle of this town. I was thinking it was going to be more of like a small community type of theater situation.
No.
No.
This is like a massive amphitheater.
This is a sold out. And I was curious because I was like, okay, was this already like advertised? Like, how are all these people knowing that she's performing here and now? Like, there's a sold out crowd here.
Do we want to talk about the demographics of her audience?
So the demographics of her audience are some rando regular people, and then the demographic is young men.
Like they had to be like in their 20s, right?
I would assume
they look like men.
She's
but there was like families with children in the front area, and then like all the rest of it was like
men
that were like Brittany.
Wait, haven't we seen that before?
It was the Sensational Sisters.
That's right. Where it was all a bunch of dudes.
So these are like horny weird guys, I'm assuming.
These are her super fan club.
These are the guys that like won't let her date a guy like without it ruining her career,
which
right
absolutely happens.
That's idol culture.
Yeah. You know what the vibe I got is? I'm sorry, I'm pissing people off with this, I'm sure. It's like the bronies. Like,
okay, interesting. I don't know. I feel like it's different because bronies are like, that's a cartoon. This is like a real person?
Well, I just feel like my feeling was, okay, because there were children in the audience and like families, okay. I'm thinking to myself, okay, and just her content, it kind of seems like fun and childlike or whatever. So I'm thinking, like, is her main audience and demographic younger kids?
I would assume so. She's singing songs from Pikachu shorts.
Yeah.
Intended for children.
Yeah. So she's like, I'm trying to think of some kid show.
The Wiggles.
So yeah, like the Wiggles or something. And like, she knows her audience is like young kids, and she's trying to be an entertainer for young kids. So that's why it's super, just super sweet and kind of cringy. And it's like, oh, this is for kids. But then you have the grown-ass men who are like, we love you. A sizable
number of them.
It's not about the content of her show. It's about her.
Right.
Like, that's their reasoning.
And she's dressed childlike. She's dressed juvenile.
Yeah, she's dressed like a fairy tale princess. She's not dressed in, like, a provocative, revealing outfit.
No.
And nothing about her behavior suggests that. So these are just men who have taken it upon themselves.
It's like that weird, like, baby sexy thing.
Ew!
You know what I mean, though? The, like...
God. Well, it's the Lolita of it all. But she doesn't portray that. Like, that's not...
No.
She's not doing that.
She's not sexualizing herself.
No, she's being sexualized. Problematic. So those men are, like, front and center. They've taken all the best seats, which kind of pissed me off, because I'm like, the kids are the ones that should be in the front row, not her weird fans, but... whatever. You know what it also reminded me of? Remember a couple years ago when was it Pokemon cards? And they were giving Pokemon cards out in like McDonald's or Burger King.
Oh yeah.
And like all those crazy Pokemon people were like buying up all the Happy Meals and shit to get the cards and like taking them away from the kids.
Yeah, that's yeah. Where I think you crossed the line. Yeah. I feel so weird talking about this because we are talking about a children's cartoon in an R-rated fashion.
But we're not taking it
away.
We've
made efforts to make it. We're very much trying to silo ourselves off, specifically for the adult audience.
We have always made it very clear in our what we say and how we introduce this podcast that we are millennials who are talking about this through a obviously like satire. Like obviously we're hyping it up, the ridiculous elements for fun. We've never been anything else. Like, we've always been, like, a Pokemon by adults for adults kind of thing.
I do not want to take away anything from the child audience that this is intended for. I'm not going to steal their tickets to go to the Britney and the Loony Balloons concert.
Yeah, exactly. We haven't gone out and we haven't, like, overtaken something or, you know, we don't go out there and buy up, like, all the Pokemon cards or cut in line in front of a small child to take it away from them. Like, we're not like that. Anyway, yeah, so let's talk a little bit more about her name. Like, she actually has a real name, like, to her show, which...
Who, Brittany?
Yeah, she calls herself Brittany and the Loony Balloons. Is that right?
I guess. Is that a Looney Tunes reference?
I'm assuming so, but she didn't introduce herself like that. So she kind of, like, underplayed her popularity then, right? Because she's just like, oh, I just have a little show and...
Well, James said there were posters all over town for Brittany and the Loony Balloons.
Did she post those herself, or was it her fan club?
I would assume it was her PR person.
She have a PR person? I'm just
her manager, her agent.
I'm so curious. I feel like I want to know more about like the behind the scenes of Brittany and the Loony Balloons, but then I'm like, you know what? I don't care that much. Anyway, so she starts her performance. It's I would say it's not my cup of tea, but the audience seems to find it wonderful.
Her performance would be called, let me verify the name, Mama's Dear Pokemon.
Mama's Dear Pokemon?
Is the Japanese title of it. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was on a CD release that accompanied the Lugia movie for the Pikachu short, but was not actually included in the movie. I could be wrong.
Interesting. And I really feel like I didn't notice this the first time. I feel like I did myself a disservice by not listening to her songs more closely, but I found them to be a little grating, to be honest. So I kind of just wanted it to be over with.
I mean, they made the lyrics into like Igglybuff lyrics, which makes sense. I thought they did a decent job with like matching her lip flaps and stuff.
I wasn't paying that close of attention, but I'll believe you. It's not a great song. In my opinion.
Listeners, if you would like to hear that song, you're going to hear it at the end of this episode. So get ready. Right.
Give us your thoughts on what you think. Is this like...
On Mama's Dear Pokemon.
The pop hit of the century or what?
It's burning up the charts.
Anyway, Jigglypuff's like, I am done with this shit. It's time for me to shine. But unfortunately, or fortunately, barely has a second to get out the first syllable before Team Rocket flies in. And this is their jam. They are made for the stage.
We know this song.
We love this song. This was better. This was better in every way.
Team Rocket forever.
Team Rocket forever. We've heard it before, which I had pulled it up where we heard it before, but I can't
remember. Sang it before. There's one episode where you, me, and Jacob did the parts.
You know us as Team Rocket and we fight for what is... Okay, so according to Bulbapedia, again, it says that this Team Rocket forever has been used in several episodes.
Ooh, can I guess? Can I guess what they are?
Sure.
The first episode where they meet Jigglypuff.
Okay, it says The Song of Jigglypuff. That's episode 45.
Go West, Young Meowth.
Oh my gosh, how do you know this? Episode 70. Because
I remember them singing it.
Yes, episode 70.
And is that in this one? Is and this then the this only one. Other time? I'm so good.
As of now, it's the only other time, but we will see it again.
Oh, it comes back?
Apparently... Oh no, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Okay, so apparently in Training Days...
they replaced that with... A 4Kids song in the dub.
How do you know that? God, you're like an encyclopedia.
Team Rocket, Rocket.
Yeah, they replace it by Double Trouble.
Because I watched these episodes and I just remember them. What can I say?
God. In A Lean Mean Team Rocket Machine, they have an instrumental version.
And okay. It says, I didn't remember that. I did not remember that.
Yeah, it says Unova's Survival Crisis, which is as the ending theme during the first Japanese airing.
Okay, so not in the dub. Got it.
And then New Places, Familiar Faces, which... It was removed in the dub, of course.
What? I didn't even know that episode.
This is a black and white
series
episode.
Boo at removing it.
I know. So really, sadly to report that this is the last time we see it in the dub. Is this?
You right said here? They use an instrumental of it in A Lean Mean Team Rocket Machine?
Yes. That's Diamond and Pearl. Yeah.
Okay, great. We'll get an instrumental of it, though. That works.
But this is the last time we hear it sung. So okay. Sad. Oh my gosh.
Okay. It had a good run.
it was literally three times.
They should sing Mama's Dear Pokemon in every episode. I know you love that.
Yeah, because that's clearly the better song. So yeah, we get the lovely and wonderful Team Rocket Forever performance, which I think deserved a standing ovation, but the audience didn't seem to think so because they have bad fucking taste.
It was the best song performed so far.
It was. And there's no bones about it. But the audience, well, actually the fanboys rather, they boo them.
You know what? I bet the kids were into it.
I bet they were, but we don't see their reaction. They decide that they are going to steal the Igglybuff, and then Brittany is so useless, she just sits there and starts crying, and she's like, what am I going to do? I'm like, why don't you try to do something proactive? I don't know. I don't know what that would be, but just anything other than just crying about it.
I mean, admittedly, I know this is every day for us. To a normal-ass person, someone has burst into your stage performance and stolen your beloved Igglybuff and left.
Okay.
That's a wild moment if you're not Ash and Friends.
Okay, you've tempered my anger. I was being unfair.
I'm a Britney fanboy. I gotta defend her at all costs.
You're a Britney
apologist. Hashtag leave Britney alone. Hashtag save Britney.
Is this, oh my god, okay, is this like a reference to Britney Spears? Is that her name?
There's no, it's the early 2000s. Of course it's a reference to Britney Spears.
I can't
Spears.
Believe I didn't think of that before. Wow, you're so right.
She's not like Britney Spears. She's not in any way like Britney Spears. But I think they just use the name because pop culture's like, guys.
Of course. Think what you will about Britney. Have your own opinions about Britney. I think that, you know, Auto-tune or not, I like Britney's songs. I think they were fun and catchy.
You know, Britney Spears has a Pokemon connection.
Ooh, what is that?
She was on the Pokemon the first movie soundtrack.
Oh my god. Did we? I don't think we ever talked about that.
No, I don't think we did.
What was the song?
Soda Pop.
Oh, can we listen to that? We need to listen to that.
We can listen to the soundtrack when you get here later today.
Okay, listeners, go and do your own.
That'll be a fun time.
Do your own research. Apparently that's cool.
God, I'm just full of useless info.
Instead of that, though, we had Dream Street. Never forget Dream Street.
That was Pokemon the movie 2000.
Exactly, but we had a whole thing about that. How come we couldn't get Britney Spears to sing about Pokemon? She had better things to do, I guess.
I think the first movie... Okay, now we're really off topic. The first movie, I think they were just picking random stuff they could from popular pop people at the time. But the second movie, they commissioned actual songs that include the word Pokemon in them.
Yeah, like Donna Summers and shit. Like, that was...
Oh, man, the power one.
I will forever miss... I know we've talked about this, and I'm sorry. This is just bringing up so much nostalgia. Just that 90s and 2000s, like, Pokemon being fresh and new, so they had to, like, use the star power of, like, well-known artists at the time, and there was that, like, pop culture crossover that was so quintessentially 90s and early aughts. Like, oh my god, there's nothing better.
You want them to do, like, something, like, equivalent to today, like Chapel Roan does a Pokemon song
or something? No, I wouldn't, because you can't recreate the magic. It was there, and now it's gone. It's not the same. It's just not the same. And you know, I can't describe it. It just can't. But you know what I mean, you know?
What did you think about Ed Sheeran doing a song for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet?
I didn't like that. Sorry, Ed.
Because you weren't 8 years old in 2022 or whatever. That's why.
So, are there any, like, younger people who are at least were younger at the time? Well, Scarlet and Violet's not that old. Like, did it have the same feeling for kids? Like, I don't think so. Ed Sheeran was, it's not that kind of, like, performer. I don't know.
Okay, you're a 90s baby.
I am so a 90s baby, and I make no apologies. Anyway,
Zillennials represent.
I will move on, because I'll sit here and talk about this forever. Anyway, so while they go and look for Igglybuff, they convince Brock that somebody needs to stay behind and put on an intermission performance to appease the restless crowd. Because they paid for a performance and they're going to get a performance, goddammit. So Brock decides to do his classic Brock's Paradise performance.
For the first time!
Is this really the first time?
In the dub, yeah.
See, again, I'm conflating like things that have already happened with like, I'm just like, oh, surely it's already happened. But this is the first time?
I'm like pretty sure this is the first time. We would have mentioned Brock's Paradise if it had come up before.
So it hadn't ever come up in like a credit scene or a movie or a short?
Not in the dub.
But in the Japanese version?
Obviously, in the Japanese version, it was an ending theme at one point.
Okay.
So that's where it came from. Again, they're going into the archives and busting out everything they can to fill this episode. Because of this, we get the introduction of one of my favorite running gags of Pokemon the series, which is, we need to appease the crowd. Brock, wear a sombrero.
Oh my god. Yeah, talk about cultural appropriation.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They actually removed that in later Journeys.
Yeah, I know.
But for now, in the early 2000s, when things are rampantly racist, as opposed to now when they're like only somewhat rampantly racist, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It was more socially acceptable back then, of course. I was just about to say, who do you think won the bet at 4Kids to like have this stuff included? Like, that's just my... I feel like... This is such an unusual episode. Like, who won the bet? I don't know.
What do you mean?
Like, to have this created. Like, I don't know.
What created?
This whole episode and the music.
Who at 4Kids?
Or maybe, no, I guess it would be the Japanese animation.
I think they're trying to pump out episodes because they know Hoenn is coming.
I guess.
And they're like, I have a fun idea, you guys.
Yeah, so
let's do a musical episode.
Who won the bet?
I don't know. But I like this episode. I don't know why you're so opposed to it.
Oh.
It's different. You gotta give it that.
You're convincing me, okay?
All Yay! Right.
Back to the show. Team Rocket is fantasizing about how they can merchandise these Igglybuff, whatever the fuck their names are. I can't even remember. Gigglybuff, Igglybiff.
Gigglybuff and Gigglybiff.
What is their actual name? Igglybuff. The Igglies, how they can make money off of them. So they come up with a whole series of ideas, which are fun. Sadly, though, it doesn't last long because Noctowl catches up with them, pops their balloon, they battle. Obviously, Ash and Brittany are victorious. Then we're back at the concert hall, and we get another horrendous performance by Brittany. What does she sing this time?
The one I was doing earlier, which is the confusingly titled Pika Pika Masai Chu?
Oh, yeah, you were singing that during your 30 seconds.
Oh, wait, no. I think about it. That's not the one. Summer Vacation Fan Club.
Is this from the short?
Yes.
Something about beach balls.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, so really jarring considering that this is nothing to do with summer, the way that they're dressed and their set pieces have nothing to do with summertime. So that's it. So we get a song and then Jigglypuff is like, you know what? I will not be denied any longer. So it jumps up and starts singing and everybody falls asleep. The end. So Austin loved this episode.
So that's what you missed on Glee.
That is what you missed on Glee. I guess now that we've talked about it, I'm a little bit more amenable to it, but still not a favorite, I will say.
Agree to disagree.
All right, let's talk about our MVPs and our LVPs and the quote that stood out to us. And I don't know who's first. Let me fix that. I'm sitting there like waiting for something to happen and I'm like, oh wait, it's me.
You're waiting for Jacob to tell you what to do.
I am waiting for him. I just thought he might pop into the Discord real quick and...
He's gone until further notice. So, accept it.
Sadly. I'm first and then you. My MVP is going to be Brock because Brock's paradise is fun. Just ignoring the whole cultural appropriation part of it.
Yeah, ignore that part.
Ignore that part.
Brock Paradise is fucking fun, though.
It's a good beat, and it's entertaining, and I liked it way better than whatever the fuck Britney was doing, so...
Okay.
I will say that I'm gonna give my... Just for shits and giggles, I'm gonna give my LVP to Brock as well.
Okay, what do you do this time?
Because all he knows is Brock's Paradise.
I love that. I think that's such a fun gag.
The fact that he only knows, he's a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
He only knows the one thing.
He couldn't have whipped out two perfect girls.
Yeah, exactly. He has other things in his repertoire. He just didn't lean
on. But only in the dub.
Only in the dub. He had one thing and he relied on it too much and the crowd was getting restless and I kind of agreed with them at the end. So maybe he needs to step it up and find some alternative performance numbers he can do in the future. My quote, there's one. It's not really a strong one, but it's all I have. So when Team Rocket originally is spying on the Igglybuff and Jessie is fawning over them because they're just adorable and she's talking about how great and wonderful they are just like her and how she's so great and wonderful and James says, Jessie's gone over the edge of reality again. I told you it wasn't the strongest one.
No, it wasn't. Okay, my turn. Okay. My MVP, I'm so mean to you, specifically.
Well, let's see you do better then.
Okay, I will. Okay. How about I start with my quote?
Do it.
My quote is from Brock to Brittany, and he says, you and I would make such beautiful music together, Brittany.
Oh, God.
That's one of the more sexual things he's ever said.
That is very subtle, not subtle.
Mm-hmm. So I think I won that one.
You did.
Okay. My LVP is going to be Brittany for her behind-the-scenes cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
Maybe she and Brock would make a good couple. I don't know. And...
God. Oh, well, neither one of them seem to have problems doing what they do, so maybe they are a match made in heaven there.
And my MVP is going to be Jigglypuff for smacking those goddamn headdresses off those Igglybuffs.
Somebody had to do it.
I know. Thank you, Jigglypuff.
That's the one good thing it's ever done. No, except for that one time where it beat the shit out of those Clefairy. That was pretty fun.
I have a spoiler. We're going to see this Clefairy again soon.
Are we going to see Seymour the Scientologist as well?
No, we are not.
Oh.
He's long dead.
He is dead. He got trapped in a cave. I would encourage the audience, or not, to refer to what... Is it episode 2?
Episode 2.
Of our podcast?
Oh, guess what I figured out recently?
Oh, God. Do I want to know?
Kind of.
Sure. Tell me then.
We did 74 episodes total of Kanto and Orange Islands.
Wow.
As of the last episode, episode 148, we've done the same amount of episodes about Johto as Kanto and Orange Islands.
Wow.
Now over half of Out of the Drying Pan is devoted to Johto.
That's shocking and kind of wild. So there were half as many Kanto and Orange Islands episodes then?
I was including like April Fool's episodes and like fan fiction, that kind of stuff. So wow. I'm specifically counting Out of the Drying Pan podcast episodes.
So we're majority Johto.
Majority Johto. Johto got the popular vote now.
Johto all the way, baby. Wow, that's some nice trivia. We've really dedicated ourselves to this, huh? Haven't we?
Oh, man. Pokemon, do you believe there are regions after Johto? I can't even imagine.
Well, considering the fact that Hoenn is one of the best and Diamond and Pearl is one of the best, it is almost hard to believe, but I'm excited to get there.
All right, are you ready to summarize and lighten up?
I'm not ready because I don't even know what to say about this.
You don't have to achieve enlightenment, Alex. You just got to do your best.
I haven't achieved enlightenment, apparently.
Okay, get ready to get hit by a wooden panel.
Good.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
So we've come across Lake Slowpoke, aka Lake Enlightenment, where they're confronted by Team Rocket. But before Team Rocket can do much, a girl named Madeline comes, and she's like, come to my cult of Slowpoke temple people, where we learn all about slowpokes and enlightenment. So she invites them under the guise of doing backbreaking work for them with no reward, except for the reward is enlightenment. Slowpoke evolves into Slowbro, and Team Rocket doesn't accomplish their goal of stealing the Slowpoke statue. Time is an illusion.
Time is relative.
Well, according to Madeline, we have all the time in the world.
Well, she's not wrong, because we could stay here for years and wouldn't age. But well, regardless, we're only going to stay here for 22 minutes, though.
That's not enough time to achieve enlightenment.
Well, no, it's not. Okay, this episode, unlike the previous episode, went over my head. Because I did not know what real-world theology and philosophy we were referring to throughout this episode. It kind of seemed like a mix to me, actually. Because, like, Madeline was dressed as a Catholic nun.
Yes, she was.
We had a kind of a Buddha backstory going on. I don't know what kind of style the temple they were at would be. But to me, as a basically an idiot, it seemed like we were pulling from different sources for this.
It was an amalgam.
If anyone out there knows about both Eastern and Western religion and philosophy and theology, please write in and help explain this episode. Because I don't think I can speak for you, Alex, I think, when I say we're not the right people to be discussing this.
We're not the right people. I will say my initial thought is, and I hope I'm expressing this correctly, because I want to be sensitive of all theologies and beliefs and whatnot. I do like the underlying, like the Buddhism of it all, like completely makes sense. You know, you're achieving enlightenment through meditation and whatnot. I think that the way that they sort of, okay, maybe I will get in trouble for saying this. That part was fine. But I think where the Western theology came in and fuckered it all up.
The Catholic ruler beating nuns.
Madeline's whole belief of like, you know, we're going to work you till you die because this earthly life isn't everything. You know, you have a next life too. So like basically the Western beliefs of like there's an afterlife and stuff, which.
Well, then I missed that. I don't recall her mentioning an afterlife in any way.
Well, I think it was implied because there were certain parts in this where she's like, we have all the time, we have forever, which kind of implies to me like you have more than just this life. You have.
I mean, that could be reincarnation.
The next life. Well, it seemed like she was kind of talking about it like a continuation and not like a reincarnation, but that's a
different. Well, she was dressed like a goddamn nun. Well, I shouldn't say goddamn nun. She was dressed like a nun, so.
She was the only one dressed like a Catholic nun.
Everyone else was a monk.
Everybody else was a monk, which kind of subscribes to, like, you know, more of an Eastern religious philosophy.
Maybe she's, like, the one person. She's, like, a white European, and she's like, hello, everybody.
So maybe this is me just, like, ascribing some, like, Western religion, Christianity, whatever, kind of. That's the flavor she gave me.
There was one part at the very end that I thought was very strange. I'll get to that.
Okay.
So, we are at Lake Slowpoke, aka Lake Enlightenment. The twerps don't know what enlightenment means. I guess they're children, so maybe they don't know that concept. I don't know.
I don't think any one of them particularly was raised in a religious household.
There's this funny moment where Team Rocket pops out of the ground. After Ash is like, who could that possibly be? What are those voices talking to us? It's Team Rocket. Their plan of digging holes in the ground and waiting for the twerps to fall in them has not proven successful. So today, they dug a hole and popped out of it.
I'm glad for them. I'm glad that they tried something new. You disagree?
No, I agree. It was a cute moment.
Okay, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So at least they're trying something different.
True.
Which, Good for them.
At this point, a Slowpoke holding a yellow flag comes on the scene.
Do we ever get, like, a... Like, what's the flag thing?
That's gotta be some sort of something from the real world that you and I are unaware of.
Maybe.
That yellow flag was too specific of a detail not to be something real.
Maybe. I was thinking this episode was... Well, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was thinking it was gonna be, like, a Slowpoke race. Like a race.
That's a great episode. Let's do that episode instead.
Like a flag. Or like it was going to be a referee or something. Like, I don't know. I thought it was like sports related, but maybe I'm wrong.
Nope. It's religion related, apparently.
You keep talking. I'm going to look up yellow flags.
Yeah, you figure out the yellow flag. So the Slowpoke does what Slowpoke do, which is it puts its little tail in the water. Team Rocket's like, get out of here, Slowpoke. This is our show. But then Madeline the Nun comes and... She says, excuse you, this is Slowpoke's favorite spot for meditation.
Duh.
And the twerps are all like, duh, what meditation? We don't know what that is. And Madeline's like, well, come with me to my Slowpoke temple and we'll talk about it. Come over here and devote your lives to it. Or, you know, maybe an afternoon. Either way, it's good. Alex?
So I just Googled yellow flag because I don't know how deep I'd have to dig for... anything. And there's like thousands of religions, so I can't possibly. But according to Wikipedia, a flag of a yellow color indicates one of a few things. It could be a flag to indicate contagion. Historically displayed on ships to indicate the presence of disease.
Jesus.
A racing flag used in motorsports to indicate hazardous condition. Or a penalty flag used in various sports, including American football. So I'm not really sure what the fuck, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that flag. Oh, maybe someone knows and they'll write in.
They won't, but let's just pretend. They will not.
So we leave Slowpoke and its contagion flag behind and go to Slowpoke Temple. Turns out Slowpoke Temple is actually a quarantine zone.
Yeah.
And we can never leave.
Well, Madeline doesn't want them to leave. She's like...
No, she wants them to stay. She's recruiting.
She is. She's like, can you stay forever?
Team Rocket's interest, of course, is in the giant golden Slowpoke statue in the middle of everything.
Of course it is.
But Ash's interest is in the fact that Madeline mentions, surprise, Gary's been here recently.
That was a shock.
I was not expecting him to appear in a non-speaking cameo.
Oh, you know what? I did forget one detail to mention. I'm not sure if you picked up on this. Can we rewind for just a second? Brock mentions where he's from when he's introducing himself.
I was saving that for my quote.
Oh, but we have to talk about it.
Go for it.
Well, I don't have the quote, but he says he's from Flint City, and I was just wondering what the fuck that was about.
Maybe he meant to say he's from Flint's balls.
Maybe it is Flint City, because Flint is, like, just boinking everybody in that town.
Well, he's fathered 10 children through one woman that we know of.
At least... That's just at one least. That we know of. Yeah, so I was not sure what he meant.
He meant to say Pewter City and four kids fucked it up. Whoops.
Flint City. That's a really egregious error, I feel like, because that's not even close.
All right, well, moving forward into the horrors of Slowpoke Temple. Gary has been there. He's been doing some meditation, which is very on brand with Johto Gary that we know. Gary is going through a whole bunch of phases at a really fast pace, it seems to me. He's gone through his survivorless wilderness phase. He's gone through his extreme sports roller skating on the mountainside phase.
Yeah.
He's tried to find religion through meditation at a temple.
He's really trying to find himself.
Gary's really trying to find himself. You could actually make that argument that that's actually what's going on with him.
I mean, to be fair... I would applaud him for actually going out and experiencing many different facets of life versus continuously just going on the same path down a singular road. I mean, he's really exploring all that life has to offer.
It's kind of ironic because Madeline says, I'm sure he's going to be a great Pokemon trainer. It's not going to be too long before we find out that's not actually the case.
Well, I guess you can kind of say that sort of feeds into how he discovers that that's not for him. Because he's, like, trying out a bunch of different things to, I guess at this point in, like, phase in his life, you know, he's applying what he learns to his training. But through the course of that, and I guess the whole point of this episode, you know, finding enlightenment and discovering who he really is and what he really wants.
And it's not Pokemon Battle.
And it's not, yeah, so... Which, to be honest with you, I mean, like, isn't that a mark of a better trainer to experience things from all different perspectives?
okay, I gotta defend my boy Ash.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, we know canonically he says this in later seasons. The reason there's so many filler episodes is because Ash has a policy of trying to experience everything life has to offer. So all the filler episodes actually build up to a greater whole because he's open-minded and experiencing new things. Except unlike Gary, he's not going to quit Pokemon training because he's going to be the very best like no one ever was, goddammit.
I'd argue that he's not doing that. He's not experiencing everything life has to offer. He's fucking butting into other people's lives.
You know what? Fair. He's using others.
He's using other people's lives as a surrogate for his own sad existence.
Fair enough. We got to remember they're the ultimate busybodies.
Checkmate.
All right. Moving forward. We had a lot to say about Gary's 2-second appearance.
God, can I just say I love the existential episodes, to be honest, because we can just dig so deep and like prescribe all this real world shit to it that, you know, it doesn't need, but... Anyway.
No, it does not. God, we are such the sweaty men at the Britney concert.
We are the Britney, sweaty men. Britney the Loony Balloons. We are. We spend too much time thinking about it.
Leave 5 stars. So anyway, Ash, knowing that Gary passed through here, is like, I know what I'm doing for the day.
Trying to one-up somebody else.
And if Ash is going to do it, Misty and Brock are going to do it because they have no agency of their own. And Jesse, James, and Meowth are also going to spend the day at this temple because they have a secret plan to steal the giant gold statue. I found it interesting that Meowth had to partake in all these rituals, but Pikachu and Togepi did not.
Oh, that's a good point.
Just another example of Meowth being treated like a human.
Well, yeah, I guess because animals, they're beyond the trappings of humanity, so...
Clearly Meowth's not.
Meowth is kind of like committed a cardinal sin, right? Like, I guess if you want to... I'm trying not to... to draw too many parallels to religion here, but like...
He ate that forbidden fruit by learning to talk.
Kind of. I mean, I sort of feel like that. Like, if we're saying Meowth has been treated more human by virtue of the fact that he has partaken of human knowledge and therefore, like... You know what I mean? Like, now
he lost his Pokemon-ness.
He's kind of tainted. He's not so innocent anymore.
Like Britney Spears would say, I'm not that innocent.
Not that innocent.
So, Madeline has, like, a whole schedule of... recruitment task for these people. Mm-hmm. And the first one is group meditation. The way this works is we all meditate on the ground with a whole bunch of strangers in a room. And if you have a twitch, you get hit on the shoulder with a paddle.
Get beaten upside the head.
Which that had to have been a real thing, right? But in any case, we get a mildly funny sequence where all of our twerps and Team Rocket try meditation. And they all are as bad at it as I am.
I think the whole point she was trying to make is, like, you're meditating to shed your worldly thoughts, basically ignore outside stimuli, because your mind is so transcendent that you're not even, like, you're not worried about the fact that you have an itch on the back of your neck.
Yeah, meditation does not work for me. It just gets me in trouble.
You're not emptying your mind well enough.
No, I'm not.
I know I couldn't do it. I haven't tried because I know I would not be able to do it, so.
I mean, try. Feel free to try, but I can't do it. And neither can the twerps.
No.
Ash, immediately, within seconds, is in a scenario in his mind where he has won the Johto League. So he gets hit by a ruler.
Yep.
Misty has the most interesting fantasy of all.
Which, the legendary.
She sees a legendary water Pokemon in the distance.
Is this the first time we've seen it?
Do you know what it is?
Well, of course it's a Mega Gyarados.
It looks exactly like a Mega Gyarados.
Is this the first time we've seen that? Is that where that...
Mega Gyarados, who will not be introduced until, like, 12 years after this.
Well, I know that, but, like, as far as the silhouette of the mystery fin, as... What? Okay, all right, stop. Stop.
What?
Stop.
Where? What?
We need to find enlightenment together. Misty's vision, or thought, is of the mysterious fin of a Pokemon she's trying to catch, which she calls the legendary water Pokemon. In our minds now, we can look back and say, oh, well, clearly that has to be a 12-year earlier Easter egg of the Mega Gyarados, because it looks exactly like it.
It looks exactly like a Mega Gyarados, which does not exist yet.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Is this, looking back on it, we can see it now. Like, this is this the first time that we have seen Misty's vision of that as of, like, right now?
Or, yes.
Okay, so it has not appeared before. Okay, so this is...
the fin thing.
This is where that comes from.
I mean, there's several possibilities. One possibility is it's a coincidence. It's not actually a Mega Gyarados. It just happens to look exactly like it. Another possibility is this was a design they had in their back pocket for a possible Gyarados evolution or something like that. That maybe that was just like in the back burner. And when they needed Misty to see a mysterious shadow, they used something that they had on hand. Another possibility is when designing Mega Gyarados, someone remembered this episode and they were like, ooh, what about that thing? Let's use that as our basis.
Well, the conspiratorial part of me wants to say, yes, they had a master plan for all this time. According to the trivia bullet on Bulbapedia, it just says, During the meditation scene, Misty sees herself chasing an unknown legendary water Pokemon. The only part of the Pokemon seen is a giant fin, which is similar to that of the then unreleased Mega Gyarados.
I'm surprised it wasn't just Kyogre.
I mean, yeah.
I guess Kyogre's design wasn't finalized yet.
But I think I like it better because we know how Misty feels. And she actually says it this episode, how she hates Gyarados.
There's a lot going on.
Her destined Pokemon is a Mega Gyarados is funny to me. I don't know. I mean, there's so many theories. I want to say that in reality, it's probably, okay, they just drew a really...
Finny-looking fin. A sea monster.
Like a sea monster-looking thing. And then they just so happened to... Years later, they were, like, picking out designs for Mega Pokemon, and they're like, oh, yeah, Mega Gyarados. And then I don't think they really made a conscious connection to this at all. Like, maybe somebody somewhere was like, oh, you know, it'd be funny. But, like, I that's such a small detail in a throwaway episode. Like, I couldn't see it being conscious.
You think it's just coincidence?
I think it's coincidence.
That it looks like a sea monster, and later they designed Gyarados to look like a sea monster. That sounded accusatory, but it wasn't intended to be.
No, now I'm thinking about it, because the whole Gyarados thing in Misty kind of does have... There is a history of it. I don't think they necessarily picked Gyarados out as, like, a potential mega and was like, oh, you know who we should use as inspo for this? Misty.
Gyarados is iconic. I think they just designed it. And I've convinced myself it's a coincidence now.
I mean, it has to be.
Too weird.
Time is a circle. Anyway, let's go on. Okay.
It's a glitch in the Matrix. Ah! Okay, so we don't see Brock's fantasy. Presumably he saw a girl. James fell asleep. They all get hit.
We don't want to see Brock's fantasy. His would be...
We've seen his fantasies before.
X-rated. Anyway.
We got the idea.
Sure.
So that went very poorly. So now it's time for cleaning the hallways, which immediately becomes a fast-paced race between Ash, Jesse, and James. They literally race to the hallways with Pikachu and Togepi waving a flag for where they're going to end. So Madeline comes up on the scene and claps, and she was like, that was really entertaining. You did a terrible job of cleaning. Do it again.
You want to know something? Sorry, I just saw this. There was a dub edit where Brock's fantasy was of Madeline.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, he wants to fuck the nun.
Yeah, of course. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. That happens. Okay, now that's over, and it's time for fishing. But Jesse and James are going to fake some back pain so they don't have to do it.
Real.
Missy's like, well, good thing we're all so young, so we don't have back pains like that.
I took that personally. I was like, you little shit. Just wait.
That was funny.
Till you're 30. Oh, wait, you'll never get 30 because...
She's never going to age.
Yeah.
We're all fishing except for Jesse and James. They don't catch any bites. So Misty, who's doing pretty good this episode, I think she's pretty funny. She picks up Meowth, says, go talk to the water Pokemon and see why they're not biting our fishing hooks.
That was hilarious. And
throws them into the water. Meowth apparently speaks underwater to all the fish. And he says, they're not biting because they can tell your intention is to catch them. And they're only going to bite if you don't care about it.
How would they know?
They're from Lake Enlightenment. They're enlightened.
You have to not care at all whether or not you actually catch something before... You actually catch it, but by then you don't care about it. So what is even the point?
It's a catch-22 of catching.
Sure.
Meanwhile, Slowpoke is fishing up everything you can imagine, including a Shellder.
Ooh.
And a Shellder bites on Slowpoke's tail, and nothing happens.
That's an error.
Interesting. Meanwhile, Jesse and James have stolen the giant Slowpoke statue. They somehow have converted it into a bicycle contraption and are going downhill with it. It's spiraling out of control and is going to kill everyone. It's going to hit Madeline in the Slowpoke and the Shellder, I guess. But in that exact moment, Slowpoke evolves, finally, into Slowbro, psychically saves the day, and Team Rocket is sent blasting off again. Or actually, no, they're not. They're not sent blasting off again. But Madeline has a whole speech about the nature of enlightenment and how one doesn't necessarily have to find enlightenment to improve themselves, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't pay much attention. Did you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. She just was talking about, like, enlightenment allowed her to trust the slowpoke / slowbro, and I knew that I was never in any mortal danger because of enlightenment. And I was like,
She drew a comparison between the trust between her and the slowpoke with the twerp's trust with their Pokemon and their friends. I thought that was kind of nice.
I mean, I guess her message, like, the trusting part and, like, you know, yeah, if you trust your friends and you strive to be a little bit better than you were yesterday, every day, then that's true enlightenment or something.
But things are not that nice because now Jesse, James, and Meowth are being forced to meditate again. And Madeline stands over them with her legion of monks, all of them holding wooden panels. And she's delighted to hit them at any moment's notice. That's their punishment, is meditation. Which proves to me once and for all, Madeline actually is full of shit. And this is all her cult of people that she likes to hit with a ruler. So this is all for naught because she's actually a crazy person. The end.
Yeah, well, you know you can't achieve enlightenment without beating the ever-living shit out of you first, so...
Madeline's going to take off that purple nun outfit, and it's going to be like she's a dominatrix.
Oh, my word.
Not really, though, because you need to have consent to be a dominatrix.
I feel like purple is a bad choice anyway, because I feel like purple you associate with, like, royalty and shit. And I'm like,
that's... She's a rich nun.
She's a rich bitch. I'm like, well, I don't think that this is, like, the color of enlightenment, but what do I know?
She should have been wearing pink to match Slowpoke.
Yeah, that's such a good idea.
I don't know. I thought these were fun. These were way more fun than the more recent episodes we've had, to me.
I like the Hocus Pokemon one. I don't know what
I know you do.
You're on about.
I like same old song and dance.
Ugh. Well, you like it because you are a connoisseur of the music.
As terrible as it may be, yes.
Look, we have discussed that some of the... Well, I think it's the orchestral pieces and stuff. Like, Pokemon music's some of the best and most iconic.
The Junichi Masuda stuff.
Yeah. Not necessarily, like, the...
Mom is the Air Pokemon.
Yeah. Well, you are going to go first and talk about your MVP, LVP, and quote, though.
My LVP is going to be Madeline for the reasons I just explained. Just like every other person we've ever met, she's actually an insane, power-hungry dictator.
We're going to get so canceled for this
episode. I don't care anymore. My MVP is going to be Misty.
Okay.
For her funny moments and for that... wild Mega Gyarados detour she sent us on.
That was great.
My quote, I'm going to go with, since you took the Flint City quote, Jesse saying, "So who am I? My name is Jesse, the wise and gorgeous." And James says, "And I'm James, the less inflated Team Rocket member."
The less inflated?
Yeah.
Is that like her ego?
Yeah, inflated ego.
That's hilarious. Okay, I am going to give my MVP to Ash.
Oh.
Maybe. Just because I connected with him the most during the part where Madeline at the beginning is trying to convince them all to come with her. And he was like, well, I don't really know about that. He didn't seem like he wanted to go.
I can't believe you didn't give it to Gary.
Well, should I? Well, he didn't appear, actually.
Okay. Yeah. He appeared in a vision.
I feel like giving it to Gary is a cop-out, right? Because I always give mine to Gary when he shows up. Oh, fuck it. Austin, you made me change my mind. It's going to
be... No, you're going to be Ash.
No. It's ruined. It's over.
Nope.
It's too late. It's like when you're playing chess and you don't take your hand off the pawn yet.
Oh,
and you're
okay,
still allowed to change your move. So I'm going to do that. I'm changing it to Gary because that's my boy Gary and I got to give it to him. And you know what? Honestly, I can make a case because good for Gary for trying different things.
And for escaping Madeline's cult.
And he did escape. So he decided that slowpokeanity was not for him. And so he decided to move on, which, fair enough.
Slowpokeanity.
Yeah. My LVP is going to be... You said Madeline, right?
Yeah.
Shit. I guess I'll give my LVP to Brock for that Flint City bullshit. I don't know.
Oh, fair enough.
I don't know what happened with that. But I'm like, if you don't even remember where you're from, it's not a good
look. He's thinking he's with Dick.
Yeah, he's thinking with his dick.
Ew, I'm going to take that back. I don't want him to be thinking of his dick and it made him say his father's name.
Ew! Oh, well, no, well, like father, like son or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Maybe one day Brock will have 10 children. Who knows?
I want to think that Brock is one of those people who vow to like actually never have children because he's done all the child rearing for an entire lifetime. I mean, he raised all his siblings. So I think, and he's parenting now. He's parenting Ash and Misty in a way. So.
Or it's like he would be a good dad, but because he has shitty parents, he has no desire to be.
Maybe he would be a good dad under any other circumstance, but his view of being a good parent is skewed because he didn't have good role models himself.
Ooh, I can't wait to see Flint again.
I can't wait to see Lola, his mother.
They're coming.
They are coming. Stay tuned. My quote. Okay, so this one's a long one, and I'm just going to go for it. So this is the beginning where Team Rocket pops out of the hole in the ground, and Misty says, "Now this is strange." Brock says, "You usually don't show up so early in the day." Jesse, "True, we used to spend our mornings digging holes and waiting around for you to fall into them." James, "We've tried that old dig a hole and wait plan 100 times, and it only worked maybe 5. Meowth, "But those 5 times sure worked great." And then Team Rocket all together say, "So now we dig the hole and wait for you to come along, and then we pop out." And Brock says, "I know, maybe you should just dig a hole and stay in it."
That was cute. I enjoyed that scene.
Yeah, that was less of a quote and more of a scene, wasn't it? But...
We should have done the dramatic reading.
Oh my god, you know what we forgot to talk about?
What?
Delibird.
Oh shit, good catch.
Delibird showed up at the
end. Oh my god, good catch, Alex. I completely forgot.
We said we were going to try our damnedest to keep track of all the times that Delibird showed up. So I think this is 2 times.
It's been 2 months since do's and don'ts.
Yeah, so mark your calendars, people. We have had 2 months of time passage.
Yes, Delibird made a cameo.
It did. Anyway, okay, so that was great. We talked way longer about those 2 episodes than I thought we were. Okay, Austin, what is next week?
Next week's a special episode. Do you remember this?
I don't.
We are going to be reading our Imposter Professor Oak fan fiction.
Holy fuck. Oh my god, is it really October already?
Yes, it is.
Wowee. It is. Oh my god. Okay, yes. So, just another reminder to you guys out there. So, next week is our special fan fiction episode. So, what we're doing is we are going to write, Austin and I, a fan fiction. And the prompt is just Imposter and Professor Oak. So it can be anything, although we did impose some challenges on ourselves. Austin is not allowed to write a horror-based fanfiction, and I am not allowed to write a romance-based fanfiction. And we encourage all of you guys out there, if you have any sort of desire in your hearts, which I hope you do, share your fanfictions with us.
The deadline is today.
Is it today?
The deadline is the day this episode comes out. And I think most people don't listen until Monday.
Okay, so that would be the 4th or the 5th.
The 5th.
Okay.
The 5th of October is the deadline.
We really encourage it. We would love to.
Write it now. Write a haiku. We'll read it.
It doesn't even have to be long.
No, it does not. It really doesn't.
It could be a paragraph, for God's sake. I mean, just.
No one's going to send anything in.
You don't know that.
I do know that.
Let's not do a self-fulfilling prophecy thing. Let's just try to be optimistic. Okay, so do that. Look forward to that. That's super exciting. It'll be fun. Austin and I will write something regardless and see what we come up with. Any other final thoughts, Austin, or are we good to go? We are enlightened.
Pikachu, Pika, Pika. Pikachu, Pika, Pika. Just kidding. It's the other one. Mama's your Pokemon. Goodbye.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for once again joining us for our unhinged antics. We hope you had fun. If you ever want to get in touch with us or send us your fan fiction, you can do that at outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or hang out with us over on Twitter/X. That's @outofthedryingpan. Again, @outofthedryingpan. Or join us over on Instagram. That's @outofthedryingpan. And if you want to support us and what we do here on this podcast, you can always become a Patreon patron. We have really super cool bonus episode content, out of the drying pan outtakes, notes, all kinds of fun stuff. So go ahead and go over there, check us out. We really love your support. And as always, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week as the journey continues.